Please take them out. Turn to the book of 1 Kings. Tonight we're of course going to have communion, and we're going to have a time where we'll just invite the Holy Spirit to move on our hearts. And I would encourage you even right now just to be open to what the Holy Spirit's impressing on your heart. We'll have a time where you can share maybe a scripture. Maybe God just puts a word on your heart. We want to be able to minister to one another through that time. And so I'm looking forward to that. I always really enjoy these times. And lots to pray about these days. Lots going on. The government may shut down. Did you guys hear that? On Friday. So if you don't know about that, basically the government has not come up with a budget for this year. It's April. And so they've been passing temporary resolutions, I guess, to get them a little extra time. But the deadline is Friday, and it doesn't look like, I haven't heard the news today too much, doesn't look like they're coming up with anything. And so it's really late now, you know. So basically what's going to happen is government employees, I know somebody who works for the Small Business Association as an attorney, and if nothing gets passed, they won't be paid until everything gets worked out. So a lot of government employees are going to have a hard time there. So lots to pray about. Let's keep that in prayer. Of course, lots going on in the world, things that we've been discussing. I haven't heard from Pastor Doug too much, so I don't know what's going on with him, but definitely let's keep him in prayer. U-Turn is having their big open house down in San Angelo this weekend. Let's definitely keep that in prayer. Friday morning, we'll be meeting with the high school football team at Capel High School to teach the word down there. So please keep that in prayer. And, lots of neat stuff going on. So, Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, we're so grateful that you are on the throne, Lord. And I am just trusting that your word will do its work tonight, Lord. I pray that there would be nothing ordinary or routine about this service, but it would be nothing short of human beings coming into the presence of the holy living God. Lord, you say that your word is a lamp unto our feet, God, and I know there may be some here tonight who need their path to light up, Lord. They need direction and vision and wisdom. I pray, Lord, for a supernatural renewal of the spirit of the people here today. I pray for those who are weary and weak and confused and just going through a difficult time in their life. I pray for those struggling with depression and discouragement or feeling down. I pray, Lord, that the power of your Holy Spirit would come upon us, Lord Jesus, that you would overflow us with the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, that you would rise us above our circumstances and situations, Lord, that you would fill us with the joy, all the joy that is in your presence that is available, Lord. I pray that we would have an attitude to disconnect ourselves from circumstances and situations, and we'd be completely free to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see what your Spirit has to say to the church tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so starting a new chapter this evening. I don't think we're going to get through the whole chapter tonight. Got that right, at least. But there's some just really neat things in this chapter. It's a pretty long chapter, a lot of different things going on. But basically, we just left off with David coming to the end of his life, and there was a power struggle for the throne. Of course, we know that it was Solomon that God had called to be the next in line to take over the throne. However, there was a coup by Adonijah, a coup where he took it upon himself to usurp the authority and take the place or the position of something that was not given to him by God. And so we find that David found out on his sort of deathbed, found out about the coup, and he took action to make sure that Solomon would be in place as the king. So Solomon is in place now. He is the rightful God-ordained person to be in the throne. And so the book of 1 Kings, we're going to really look at now the life of Solomon and see how that all develops. So in verse 1 of chapter 2, as the days of David drew near that he should die, he charged Solomon his son. So imagine the gravity of this. Now this is the next in line for the throne of Israel. And Solomon now is getting advice from David. I mean, imagine what that would be like to sit just at the foot of David's bed as he's there saying, "Now, Solomon, with all my experience, with all of my intimacy with the Lord, with all of the ways that God speaks to me, all the things that I know, now here's what I would charge you with." And I believe this is also applicable to us, that God would look at us and say, "This is what I charge you with. This is the exhortation. This is what you and I need to know. This is the information that is being passed down to David." And really, for us here tonight, what he's about to say is really what God would charge us with. And I think in a day and the times that we live in, I think this charge is even more dramatic. This charge is even more important. Notice the charge. He says, "As I go the way of all the earth, the encouragement is to be strong." So important. Because of what he knew what was ahead. David knowing the importance in his own life of what strength would mean, the importance of strength. And of course he wasn't telling him to run down to 24-hour fitness and lift some chariots and bench press some I don't know, whatever they did in those days. But he was talking about the inner person, right? The book of Ephesians tells us to be strengthened in our inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now think about this for a second. There's a need for this exhortation because this could be something that would be a problem. We don't get exhortations of things that aren't a problem. Strength can be a problem for us. Have you ever felt spiritually weak before? Have you ever felt like the more you press in, the weaker you get? Sometimes the attacks get heavy. Sometimes they're surprising. And the key to understanding that is that as we press in and we get attacked, that is the opportunity for strength. The opportunity for strength is when we ourselves are weak. Here's the mistake that is often made. When things get hard and difficult, the mistake is to revert back or go back into something that is more comfortable, more familiar, more soothing, more relaxing, something that appeases us a little more than if we keep going forward. But see, what God is trying to do is He's trying to get us strong in Him. And the only way that we can be strong in Him is if we are weak in us. So as we go through and we press forward, we feel weak and we feel like, man, I don't know if I can go on. I just feel so inept and incapable. And I just don't have the energy or the strength to keep moving on. And I want to encourage you that that is the time That is the time then to seek the Lord, to allow God to take you, to allow God to carry you, because that's where the magic starts to happen. When we get to that place where we end, that's where God begins. And so the exhortation is to be strong. Now, I want you to just turn back a little bit with me to the book of Joshua, which, by the way, is one of my favorite books. And we're going to read one of my favorite scriptures. Joshua chapter 1. We get this, another passing of the baton. So we're seeing a theme here. Moses is passing the baton to who? The book gives it away. To Joshua. And the exhortation from Moses to Joshua is filled with, be strong and courageous. And then, be strong and very courageous. But what's very interesting and what I want to point out here tonight is that when he says to be strong and courageous, he gives us a very specific reason to be strong and courageous. In verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed." Now, if he just left off there, I would be wondering, well, how can I do that? I understand I'm supposed to be strong. And I get that I'm not to be afraid and be dismayed. I get that. But can you imagine Joshua saying, did you see those guys in the promised land? He did see them. They were big. And their cities were fortified. In fact, the people were so big in the promised land, which God told them to go in and conquer, that they felt like they were like grasshoppers compared to the people. And the children of Israel, the first time around, did not go into the promised land. Because of their fear, the fear that gripped them, the fear that was because of their evaluation of the situation and the failure to understand this one little last thing about how we are strong and courageous. Do you see it? The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So that's it. It's not, okay, I'm going to be just strong and I'm going to man up and suck it up and I'm going to be tough and I'm going to go in and I'm going to be strong. This is a different kind of strength. He says, be strong and courageous knowing that I am with you. So it is the remembrance or the understanding in any situation that wherever we go, God is with us. That is what gives us the strength. Do you remember in the Promised Land these great exploits? Amazing things happen by just like marching around the city and the walls fell down. Isn't it interesting that a lot of times it wasn't just man versus man power, but it was the power of God that made the difference? And you go through the book of Joshua and you look at the conquests. And the conquests were always what the Lord would do because He was with them. Isn't that interesting? So where does our strength come from? It comes from the Lord. But see, here's how we can apply this in any situation in our life. When we start to feel afraid or defeated or anxious or whatever it is, it's the remembering that God is with me. It's the knowing that God is with me in any given situation that brings the courage. And one of my favorite, another one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 28:1. It says, "The righteous shall be as bold as lions." I like that. But it has nothing to do with me. And that's why Jesus said, without me, you can do what? You can do nothing. But with me, all things are possible. So this is something different now. And the same exhortation given to Joshua now is given to Solomon. It's the same thing throughout the whole Bible. We track this understanding of God being with us. With if God be for us, who can be against us? The Great Commission in Matthew 28 was that very same thing. Go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples, and lo, depending on what version you have, lo, I am what? You guys know that one. So there shouldn't be any problem here, right? But we forget, don't we? Or we think God forgot. Has that ever happened to you? Like, hello, God, I'm here. Remember me? You didn't just drop me off down here, did you? Here's the promise. We can take that to the bank. Now turn back with me. So the strength is because God is with us. And so the encouragement as David is passing on the charge. And the reason this charge is given is the same reason for us, that if we desire to live a godly life, if we desire to be different than a lukewarm, backsliding, bench-sitting Christian, but we say, Lord, I want you to use my life for your kingdom. If we want to be those people, then we need to know we need to be strong. And we need to be of good courage. That's what we're going to need. And we're going to need that. That's a hint that it's not going to be easy. That if we're serious about our faith, about our relationship with God, if we're not content to be sideline Christian guy trying to make everybody like us and fit in every situation, but if we take the Bible seriously and we take God's plan for our life seriously, then we need to know we're going to need to be strong and have good courage. Because there's going to be times where it's going to be difficult. There are going to be times where we're going to have to remember that God is with us. We're going to have to remind ourselves and all the implications that come from God being with us. And then when we remember that, when we know that, then it gives us the strength to keep going forward. Now in verse 2, as I go the way of all the earth, be strong, therefore, prove yourself a man. I could sink my teeth into that one, can't you? Prove yourself a man. No doubt there is a sensing of the possibility of some timidness with Solomon. Remember David, he was quite the man's man, wasn't he? He was quite the man of war. He was the man of battle. And so Solomon didn't quite have that upbringing and that pedigree. It's oftentimes that somebody that, say, for example, in a family where you have the parent who rose from poverty and difficulty and struggle, and then the children get to benefit from all that. Oftentimes they have a little bit more difficult time at first launching out in society because they haven't learned to persevere through the difficulty and the struggle like maybe those who have gone before them have. The perseverance would be key. And David was charging Solomon to be strong and to be a man, to live out what was in him and what he knew and what he believed. Do you know what that's called? It's called integrity. Do you know what integrity is? It comes from the word integer, which for you math people, it's a whole number. The word integrity means it's an inner strength that comes from our actions matching our beliefs. That's what integrity is. It's the opposite of integrity would be what? Hypocrisy. But he's saying, be a man and be strong so that your actions will match your values and your beliefs. That when that happens, you will actually be a whole person. You will be complete. Now, here's something very interesting. With this charge to be a man, really this encouragement to be strong, to be consistent with who he is, it also suggests that there will be a great temptation to act in a way that would not be consistent with who he was. And this is often the temptation that faces us. It's a temptation that we have our beliefs, but then we would behave in a manner that's different than our beliefs. We learn here that it takes strength and it takes power to actually live out what we believe. But here's what's interesting. And we're not talking about perfection here, but we're talking about a heart that desires to be doers of the word and not just what? Not just hearing the word, but then taking that and integrating it into our actions. What happens here, and we find this from Jesus speaking about the wise man and the foolish man. You guys know that one? The wise man built his house on what? Rock, the wise man. The not so wise man or the foolish man, he built his life on the sand. Okay, so we are told that building our life on the rock, it meant that that person would be a doer of the word. That's what it speaks of stability, it speaks of consistency, and it speaks of strength because of the doing of the word part. That's what makes a person a wise person. It makes them very stable. But here's another very interesting thing. With integrity, there comes an inner peace, even though it's difficult to have integrity and walk consistently with our beliefs, there comes an inner peace that is given when our life matches up with what we believe. To the opposite of that, there develops an inner anxiety and an inner stress of a person being out of alignment with their beliefs and their actions. Whether they want to admit that or not, there causes some internal inconsistencies and internal lack of peace because there's an inner rebellion. And it's an inner rebellion against God's will. Now that gets a little tricky because this inner rebellion against God's will can occur even though outwardly we're doing religious things. That's where it gets tricky, because we can have an incorrect view of our consistency yet feel the lack of peace and the lack of joy in our heart, and we can't figure it out because we're going to church every week. We even go on Wednesdays. And we even serve. But yet something's wrong in our heart. And that's why the Bible says if you have something against somebody, deal with that before you go and worship the Lord. And deal with that situation. Because if we outwardly, consistently do religious things, but yet in our heart we're in rebellion, we will quench the spirit in our life, and then we will begin to be outwardly religious people without the inward reality. That's very dangerous. Jesus talked about a people who their lips would profess the Lord, but in their heart they were far from God. So we know it is possible to outwardly do religious things, yet inwardly not agree and submit and surrender to the will of the Lord. And when that happens, we are in a place that is a very bad place. So the exhortation is to be a man, to be consistent with what you believe, to move forward in your actions in that way. And to do that, you're going to have to be strong and courageous, because there's going to be a lot of challenges to your actions and to your beliefs. A lot of times you'll be afraid. A lot of times you feel like giving up and you won't have energy. But yet, don't forget that now is the time where the Holy Spirit will take over and He will do the work in you and through you. And that's why the Bible says it's not by might, not by power, but what? But by my Spirit. That's how we do it. But we have to end for this to begin. So in verse 3, keep charge of the Lord your God. To walk in His ways. So there it is. There's the action. To keep walking in His ways. To keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. So what would happen? That you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Sweet. You like that? So should we go buy big cars now? Doesn't it say we'll be prosperous? Wow. Okay. I just love this. This is God saying, do you want to be successful? Do you want to prosper? And of course, He's not talking materially. It may be materially. That's not what He's talking about. And if we think it's materially, it's such a shallow view, because would you rather prosper materially or spiritually if you had a choice? It's ridiculous to even talk about that, isn't it? We'd rather be rich in the Lord. But see, whatever God does with that, that's up to Him. But please see this, because this is God telling us how to be successful. And He's basically saying, keep the statutes, the commandments, keep the testimonies. And what He's saying, what that all boils down to, is what we find in the New Testament: walk in the Spirit. That as we walk in the Spirit, we will find all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now we're becoming strengthened in the inner man. How does that happen? The book of Ephesians tells us being strengthened in the inner man happens by being strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the encouragement is to be strong, keep going. Remember, God is with you. And when you feel like giving up, that's the time to let God then do the work and say, Lord, Your will be done. But notice the word keep is important here. Keep it. That's important. Keep charge. Keep the charge. Because this is talking about perseverance. This is talking about this race that we're running and where you and I are going to end up on that race. Paul said, I don't count my life dear to myself. So none of these tribulations, trials, difficulties, none of them move me. I almost see Paul, because they are telling Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Because he had a prophecy that he'd be bound up there. Don't do that, Paul. He's like, none of these things move me. Why, Paul? Because I'm not holding on to my life. So that I may run my race with joy. I love that. For me to live is Christ. That's what he would say. It's all about Jesus. And it's just a matter of us getting on board with that. So, shall we segue into communion? I think it's a good time to do that. Because I really believe the Lord, in each one of our lives here, is looking to thrust us forward a little bit more. And maybe some of us have just gotten into a place that we've been in for a while. We're just kind of cruising along. I really believe the Lord is speaking to us today about the need for a full surrender. And I wish there is some way that we could really get the fact that God would say the way to prosper, the way to be successful. He used the same word when he talked to Joshua. You remember that? To be successful is to follow the Lord. It's as simple as that. And so as we follow the Lord, we find that in the New Testament, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything will take care of itself. Maybe what you and I are going through here today, whatever we're going through, maybe it's God trying to realign our priorities. Maybe it's God preparing us for that next great work. Maybe it's God preparing us for the next stop on the plan that He has for our life that He promises to be so wonderful and so good. And my prayer, my exhortation here today is just this one thing. Just don't settle for right now. Right now may be fantastic. But God says, I'll give you every bit of me that you want. Don't settle for what we have now. But let's take that next step. We'll bring Mike up here, a.k.a. Mikey. And maybe we can hit one of the lights here. We're going to take communion. And if I can have one of the guys pass that out, or two of the guys. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Let's go into prayer. And we're going to continue with, as we're into prayer, we're all going to continue in a state of communion with God. We're gonna really now focus on this intimacy that God has available for us. Really now, nothing else should matter but us and God. As you get the communion, just hang on to it so we can take it together as a body. And as they're passing out, I'm just going to go into prayer, and really excited about what the Lord is going to do here today. And again, I encourage you in these times. We don't have a whole lot of time, so if the Lord puts something on your heart, please share that. Again, whether it's a scripture, or maybe puts a word on your heart, a vision, or whatever it may be, what He puts on your heart, just share it with the group. I just ask that you keep it short and to the point, because we don't have a whole lot of time. So join me in prayer. Now, Father, Your Word is just wonderful, Lord. And it's just a reflection of You. And Father, I pray for those who are having just gotten to a place where they've just strayed away from Your Word, Lord, where they just kind of, the Word has taken a back seat in their life. And Lord, I pray that You would just return us to Your Word, revive us according to Your Word. I pray that Your Word would be hidden in our heart, so that we wouldn't sin against You, Lord. I pray for a surrender. I pray for a movement forward here in this group, Lord. I pray that You would do a great work here in these last minutes of our service, Lord. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would actually overwhelm us, Lord. That You're so, so wonderful, sweet, and good, Lord. As we take this communion, Lord, we want to remember You, and we thank You. So let us worship You now in spirit and in truth, Lord. And we ask that You would allow us to behold Your beauty, Lord, Your beauty and Your splendor. Thank You, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord.